You're listening to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our message series, #NoFilter. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
How many of us can identify with that? Maxwell Maltz, who wrote the book Psycho-Cybernetics, would agree with us. Matter of fact, he declares that 95% of all of us have a sense and a feeling of inadequacy. I would concur. My only question is, what about the other 5%? You see, I would say that all of us deal with a sense of inadequacy, inferiority, insecurity in our life. Because we're human beings. It's a part of being a human being. You know, how could anybody feel secure? You can't even count on your next minute or your next breath, much less tomorrow or next week or next month or next year. There's so many circumstances and situations that it's out of my control, that's out of your control, that's out of my reach, that's out of your reach. And any thinking person, anyone in their right mind, would recognize some degree of insecurities in our life. And here's the problem with that. Some of our greatest problem is not knowing how things will turn out. And it breeds insecurity. We're not for sure how this is going to turn out, and we're not for sure how that's going to turn out. So guess what? We're never all in to anything. Because why would I give myself completely to something when I don't know how it's going to turn out? That's why some of us never give ourselves completely to marriage. Because we're not for sure how it's going to turn out. That's why some of us never give ourselves completely to our job. There's always something that we hold back. Why would I give all of myself to that when I don't even know if I'm going to be there next year? And that's why some of us never get around to completely surrendering ourselves to God. Because we're not for sure how it's going to turn out. And because of that, no one ever gets our best. Y'all okay? No one ever gets our best. No one's ever gotten your best. You know why? Because you're insecure. And you're thinking, I don't know how long I'm going to be in this relationship. I don't know how long I'm going to be at this job. I don't know how long this is going to continue. So why would I give my all to something that I'm not even for sure how it's going to turn out? And so what happens is insecurity can be an awful tormentor to us. It can keep you up all night. It can cause you to leave a place of enjoyment. It can make you angry. It can make you to overreact. It can change your personality. It can distort your position and your thinking on any issue. Not because something terrible happened, but because there is a chance that something terrible might happen. Insecurities can bring about strange things, even in good people. Like you, like me, insecurities play havoc with evil people. And because of that, you want to do your best to minimize every insecurity in your life. Matter of fact, I will go so far to say this. You and I need to be committed to eliminate and address every insecurity in our life, because it will keep you from giving your best. It will keep you from being all in. Insecurities will limit you. That's why many of us never reach our full potential. That's why here at New Point, our mission, our goal is to lead people to realize and reach their full potential in Jesus Christ. Because when you understand who you are in Jesus Christ, you're set free. You're set free. So today, we want to look at facing my insecurities. So welcome. We're glad that you're here. We're in this series called Hashtag No Filter, because we want to get to the real you, the real person, so that you can live life and life to the fullest. Jesus tells us in Mark chapter 8, and by the way, you can follow along in your note-taking guide. He says this, he says, "What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world yet loses his own soul?" And I would encourage you to go back and read it in its full context, because what you will find out is Jesus is going to the cross. He's going to die for the sins of the world, for my sins and for your sins. And Peter's insecurities start popping out. "Hey, wait, man, you're our leader. What are we going to do without you? You're not going to go to that cross. You're not going to die." And Jesus says these incredible, unbelievable words, "Get behind me, Satan." And basically what he was telling Peter was this: you are viewing life from a human perspective and not God's. And whenever, listen to me, whenever you and I view life from a human perspective, your insecurities and my insecurities will go crazy. And so Jesus says these words after telling Peter, "You're viewing life from a human viewpoint, not God's viewpoint." And so he goes on to say, "What shall it profit a man," or "what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world?" If he has all of the possessions, all of the prestige, all of the power, all of the positions, and yet loses his soul. His soul is where life happens. It's the driver of everything that you and I do. It's where your insecurities and my insecurities begin. And he says, "What good is it if you have everything, but you're so insecure that you can't enjoy it?" You see, the soul is the most important thing about us. I love what John Ortberg has to say about the soul. He says, "Your soul is what integrates your will, your desires and intentions, your mind, your thoughts, and your feelings." He goes on to say, "Your values and your conscience, your body, your face, body language, and actions into a single life." What he is saying and what Jesus was saying is, if you lose this, if you lose your soul, you know what? It doesn't matter if you've gained the whole world. You know what? There's a lot of people who are rich today who, guess what, are so full of insecurities, they can't even enjoy their possessions. There's a lot of people here today who are much better looking than me and are beautiful and are very attractive. But you know what? They don't think that they are. So what good does it do? Because you've lost your soul. You're so insecure about your looks. There's people here who have incredible opportunities and quote-unquote positions, and yet they're so insecure because they're afraid that they're going to lose it. They don't know how things are going to work out, so they can't even enjoy what they have. And Jesus is saying, what good is it if you have all that stuff and you lose your soul, that which directs and determines how you do life? And so Jesus was saying to Peter, and he was saying to all of those around you, you know what, listen, don't take life from a human viewpoint. Take it from God's viewpoint, because it'll bring a sense of security to you and your soul. And so here's what I want us to do today. I want us to face our insecurities. I want us to pray the prayer that David prayed in Psalms 139. It's there in your notes, and here's what he prays. And by the way, it's going to take some courage. okay? It's going to take incredible courage, but I'm telling you, it's worth it. And what I would encourage you to do is I would encourage you to go back and read Psalms 139, because David lets us know in the previous verses that he knows God. He understands God. He's connected to God. And because he knows and understands God, he can be vulnerable with God. He can be transparent with God. He can be real with God. And so at the end, after declaring who God is and that God loved him, he prays this little prayer. He says, "Investigate my life, O God, and find out everything about me." That scares most of us in this room. We're praying to God that nobody investigates us and that nobody finds out everything about us. He says, "Cross-examine me and test me. Get a clear picture of what I'm about." I've got a good friend. His name's Mike. And we've been friends for almost 15 years. And he's helped me so much in my leadership. And I'll sit across the table from him. And I will say to him, "Cross-examine me. Investigate me. I want to be able to reach my potential. I'm going to be straight up with you. I'm going to tell you the good, the bad about me. But I want you to speak into my life." And he's afforded me that privilege. But the reason why I do that with him is because I know he loves me. I know he cares about me. Yes, he has some hard things that I need to hear, and some things that I need to do. But I know he cares about me. I know that he loves me. And so I tell him every time, bring it on. Even if it smarts me a little bit. Even if it stings a little bit. Because I don't want to remain the same that I am today. There's too much at stake. And so it is with us and God. There's too much at stake for me to remain the same husband, the same father, the same leader, the same man that I am. And so David is saying, "God, investigate me, man. Cross-examine me. Get a clear picture of what I'm about." He goes on to say this. He says, "See for yourself whether I've done anything wrong." And then he says this, okay? "Then guide me on the road to eternal life." You see, now he says, "Hey, check me out. Find out who I am. Because if you don't know who I am, then you can't guide me, you can't coach me, you can't teach me, you can't lead me, because I'll be playing games with you." And that word eternal life there means more than just forever and ever. It means a quality of life, of contentment, calmness, peace, joy, productivity. It means bringing heaven to earth in my life. So let me ask you a question. Are you willing to say to God, "Investigate my life"? Are you willing to say, "Hey, you know what? Today, God, in the midst of all of this, cross-examine me. Find out in my heart where maybe I've gone sideways or I've drifted a little bit." Well, I want to share with you a grid. I got it from John Maxwell. John Maxwell, or part of the grid from John Maxwell. He was doing a lesson on leadership, and he was talking about insecure leaders, that insecure leaders will never lead effectively. Because you always lead out of who you are. And he gave this grid, and I want to share it just a little bit with us today and kind of adapt it and adopt it so that maybe it will help you and I, because we're all influencing people. And if I don't deal with my insecurities, it limits my influence. And so let me walk us through this, all right? Here's the first thing. He says that we all have an inner need of a sense of belonging, of a sense of belonging. We all want to belong. We all want to be accepted. We all want to be a part of the group. And if missing, I feel insecure. I just feel insecure. If I have this sense of belonging and I don't feel like I belong, I have a sense of insecurity. I feel insecure. which manifests itself in the behavior of, right here, compensation. And so what happens is, if I have this sense of belonging that I believe I need, and yet I feel that I lack it, what happens is my behavior is that I end up overcompensating for things. That means that what happens is I'll have emotional highs and I'll have emotional lows. And what it ultimately comes to is that I end up failing to trust God. And so what happens is I overcompensate. I take matters into my own hands. I force issues. I overcompensate when I feel weak. And so maybe I talk too much. Or I start scheming. And I stoop to being deceptive and dishonest. And I fail to recognize God's goodness and God's blessing in my life. And so I compensate. Because I feel, are you all okay? Huh? You still want to go on this track of investigating? See, we all battle this. How about this one right here? The inner need of self-worth. We all want to feel worthy. We all want to feel that we matter. And if it's missing, here's what I feel. I feel inferior. I feel less than. I feel like I'm not enough. So what happens is my behavior becomes this right here. My behavior becomes competition. And so guess what? I'm competing against everybody. I'm competing against my brother. I'm competing against my sister. I'm competing against my children. I'm competing against my parents. I'm competing against my coworkers. I'm competing against everybody. And what happens is I'm filled with self-doubt, and I'm begging for somebody to recognize me. Would you just please recognize me so I can have a sense of self-worth? And I'm consumed by having to outdo everybody. And so what happens dangerously, the end justifies the means. And so when I'm in this competitive stage, guess what? I'm unteachable. I'm ungrateful. I'm jealous, I'm prideful, I'm critical, I'm judgmental of everything because I'm so insecure, because I got to be better than everybody else. And again, I fail to recognize God's blessing in my life. And so guess what? I have to become dishonest and deceptive because now I've got to lie about myself and about my accomplishments and what's really happening and what's really going on. You know what? It's destructive. It's just destructive. How about this one right here? The inner need of a sense of competence. We all want to feel that we're competent, don't we? Sure. You know, that we can handle whatever we're asked to do. And so what happens if missing, here's what I feel. I feel inadequate. I feel inadequate. And so what happens is my behavior becomes this right here. My behavior becomes comparison. And so in this behavior is I'm not so much in competition with everybody, though I am a little bit, but what happens is I find myself comparing myself to everybody else. And so I'm just trying to find people who I think I'm better than, I'm smarter than, I'm stronger than. And what happens is I develop a defensive attitude and I become preoccupied with other people. And I ignore my own role and my own responsibilities. Well, he's not a very good father. Oh, well, what about you, Dwight? Are you knocking him and his fatherhood because the fact of the matter is you're not fulfilling your role? And so what happens is it manifests itself in grumbling and complaining. And we end up taking on an attitude of entitlement. I deserve more. I deserve better. And we fail to realize that everything good that you and I have is because of the goodness and the grace of God. But we're comparing with one another. How about this one right here? The inner need of sense of purpose. Of sense of purpose. And if missing, I feel insignificant. I just feel insignificant. And so what happens is when this insecurity begins to manifest itself in my life or in your life, here's what the behavior is. The behavior is that we become compulsive. We become compulsive. And we become driven. And we become driven to be able to gain the approval of other people. And we become a people pleaser. And so we end up burning out because we're just workaholics. We're doing all of this because, you know what? We're compulsive. We're trying to feel significant. And so we end up doing a lot of things that God never even asked you to do, but you're trying to prove yourself. And what happens is we overestimate our importance. And so we become weary. We burn out. And we lean towards perfectionism because we want to show everybody that we're the best. So we become compulsive. Let me give you one more, just in case I missed you, okay? The inner need of a sense of secure or certainty. And what happens is we all want certainty. We all want this certainty. And let me just say, it's overrated. Okay? And if I miss this, okay, I feel instability. I don't want instability. I want stability. And so what happens is the thing that's manifested in our behavior is control. We become control freaks. And the reason why we become control freaks is because we want to validate our worth. We want to monopolize the situation. And what happens is when this attitude, this behavior begins to manifest itself, what happens is you think in win and loss. There's no win-win situations. You're either winning or you're losing. You have a scarcity mindset because you're afraid that somehow you're going to be left out. And so what happens is we end up blaming other people for our situations. And we resent the success of other people. We become jealous and envious of other people. Say, wow, Dwight, this is heavy. You're right, it is. It goes after my soul and it goes after your soul. But I got good news for us, okay? There's good news on the way. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? You see, Jesus came here so that you would not have to forfeit your soul, so that you could be healthy emotionally, spiritually, in every way. That's why Paul writes this in Ephesians 2:16. He says, we are his workmanship, masterpiece, invaluable, unbelievable, important, significant, created in Christ Jesus for good works, for which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You see, Jesus Christ came here to deal with your insecurities and my insecurities so that we should walk in the good works that he's called you and I to do. What are those good works? To be a great husband, to be a great wife, to be a great father, to be a great mother, to be a great friend, to be a great leader. But I can't walk in those things if I'm insecure because I end up sabotaging my life. And so we're created in Christ. We're made valuable because of what Christ did for us. Now here's why this is so important. I want you to get this, okay? In this book, What a Child Needs, I read about this, and here's the question that they ask. What happens when a child's security needs are not met? There's three things that significantly happens in a child's life when the security need is not met. The child is at risk, the child suffers, and the child fails to thrive. Wow. So when a child grows up in a home and he or she is not experiencing security, they're at risk, they suffer, and they fail to thrive. In this book, Elisa Morgan goes on to say this, While no physical causes can be determined for this condition, it is concluded that the babies experience a sense of parental rejection. Wow. Children with this disorder frequently have physical, developmental, and psychological problems. Whew. You know what? When there's a sense of rejection from us and God, I would say this to you and me. We have physical, developmental, and psychological problems because we're insecure. Dr. Henry Cloud and John Townsend says this about the security that a mother or that a parent can give a child. Here's what they say. A mother contains a child's scary feelings. A child feels alone with his feelings and feels that they are bigger than him. Goes on to say this, when a mother takes him up and rocks him, she takes in her child's scary feelings. The child has a place to put them with someone who isn't afraid of them. Get that? She exchanges these feelings for calm, repose, and love. It's as if the child dumps some toxic waste into mom and receives good food in return. Listen to me. That's what our Heavenly Father wants to do for you and me. He wants to accept us into His arms. He wants to rock you. He wants to take all of the toxic waste that you and I bring with our insecurities and exchange them for a sense of calmness, of love, of contentment, of confidence, of courage. You say, Dwight, how do we do that? How do we do that? How do we take steps to be able to deal with our insecurities? I want to give you just a few things to think about as we wrap up here today. Here's the first thing that I believe that we need to do. We need to identify the trigger. We've got to identify the trigger. The psalmist says it like this. Give discernment. Discernment means help me to see beyond what is being said and what is being done. Anybody can see what's being done, and anybody can hear what's being said. Give me what's happening in the deepest parts of me and in this environment. Give me discernment to your servant. Then I will understand your law. Basically means, then I will understand your truth. And so help me to identify the trigger. Why do I feel so insecure right now? Is it because of what somebody said? Is it because of what somebody didn't say? Is it because of what somebody did or didn't do? Is it because of criticism? Is it because it just triggered a message from my childhood? Is it because I have a desire for acceptance? Is it because I'm insecure about my physical makeup, my body? So you want to identify the trigger. The second thing that we want to do is discover the lie. Listen, behind your insecurities and behind my insecurities is a big old fat lie. It's a big old fat lie. And so Paul tells, when he writes to the church at Thessalonica, he says, test everything that is said to be sure it is true. And if it is, then accept it. Wow. So you want to be able to discover the lie. Discover what you believe about your situation. Because here's a lie. I'm only as good as what I do. That's a lie. What you have done and what I have done is I've attached my value to my performance. Or I've attached my value to the approval of people. That's a flat out lie. And so I got to discover the lie. Why am I feeling so insecure? Why am I not relating in a right way? And then the third thing is this. Choose to act on truth. Choose to act on truth. When it comes to our insecurities, many times we are our worst enemies because we choose to believe the lie instead of to choose to act on truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. Here's what Solomon would say. Every word of God proves to be true. Every single word. Everything that he says about you and me. And if you weren't here last week, let me encourage you to download it. Because here's what he says about you and me. I have chosen you. That means that he loves you and I. And he loves you and I unconditionally. And he loves you and I consistently. That's the truth. Nobody else will do that. He doesn't love me because of what I do. He loves me because of who he is. And so what happens is every word of God proves true. He is a shield to all who come to him for protection. God, I'm coming to you as a shield against my own insecurities. I need you to protect me from myself. And so what happens is you choose to act on truth. We choose to act on truth. And then number four, we embrace our uniqueness. We embrace our uniqueness. Not accept, but embrace. Yeah, this is who I am. This is who I am. The psalmist writes it this way. He says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know what? I am one of a kind. All of my things. Everything about me, I'm going to embrace that. I'm not going to run from that. I'm not going to try to be like Jack or Bill or George. I'm not going to try to be like my older brother or my younger sister. I need to embrace my uniqueness. I'm not going to try to be like this leader or that leader. I've got to embrace my uniqueness. This is who God, can you imagine you and I, God, I don't like how you made me. The arrogance of me. Which just shows my insecurity. And then I need to develop a sound mind to be able to keep these things in order. Develop a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. Listen to me very closely. Fear lives in the past and fear lives in the future. Fear lives in the regret of what you have done. And it can breed insecurity. Fear lives in the future of what might happen, and you can't control it. But he's given us a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. How do you develop a sound mind? Tim Knight shares this, and I want to share it with you just quickly. You have to choose what you focus on. You see, your mind can only focus on one thing at a time. And you and I get to choose what we focus on. So whatever you choose to focus on, okay, guess what you're going to do? You're going to talk to yourself about it. Because whatever you focus on leads to self-talk. And by the way, who talks to you more than anybody else? You do. And whatever you focus on, that's what you're going to talk to yourself about. And whatever you talk to yourself about is going to determine your emotions. Can I just say this? Your situation does not cause your emotions. Your circumstances do not cause your emotion. It's what you choose to focus on and talk about that stirs your emotions. And here's what we have to understand. Whatever I choose to focus on, I'm going to talk about. And whatever I talk about is going to ignite my emotions. And whatever ignites my emotions is going to call me to action. And I'm going to act on those feelings, even if they're not true. Because feelings aren't always telling the truth about our situation. And so how do you develop a sound mind? You get to choose what you focus on. It takes discipline. An undisciplined focus is going to lead you to a life of insecurity. Focus on the fact that God loves you, that he's chosen you, that you're complete, that you're capable. Talk about that to yourself, and that'll begin to affect your emotions, which will drive your behavior. And then finally, we need to trust God. We need to trust God. If we're going to overcome our insecurities, we got to identify the trigger. We got to discover the lie. We got to choose to act on that truth. We've got to embrace our uniqueness. We've got to develop a sound mind by what we're focusing on and what we're talking to ourselves. There's power in the tongue of life and death. And that'll affect your emotions, your feelings, which will drive your behavior. And then ultimately, it comes down to this. You got to trust God. You got to trust God. Jeremiah chapter 17, powerful. Verses, I wish I had time. Verses 5 and 6, he's talking about, curse is the man who trusts in himself. And he describes what happens to that man who trusts in himself to solve his problems, thinking that possessions and power and prestige will all solve their insecurities. And then he says this, but blessed, that means to be envied. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. Not their possessions, not their position, not their prestige, not their power. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Check this out. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Such people are not bothered what other people say or what other people do or how other people have succeeded. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. Who's he talking about? He's talking about people who trust in God. You see, here's what I want us to get, and I'm about done. Insecurity is a lack of trust or confidence, whether in ourselves or in someone else. And can I just say, you don't have what it takes, and I don't have what it takes to have the confidence and trust in ourselves to do life. It's got to be in someone else. And that someone else is God. And insecurity is my failure to trust God. What did I say last week? Your view of God is the most important thing about you. And right on its heels, the second most important thing is how you view God viewing you. You want to reach your potential? You want to have a great marriage? You want to have a great family? Want to make a difference in life? Then you have to deal with your insecurities and the behaviors that they bring into your life and my life, because they're destructive. They limit us. They torment us. And it all comes back. Ultimately, the foundation is to trust in God. When your insecurities are high, let it be known you're trusting in yourself or other people, not God. Would you pray with me? Just bow your heads. Let's do just a quick investigation. Your sense of belonging. Where are you compensating for that because you feel insecure? Your sense of worth. You're pretty competitive in an unhealthy way because you feel inferior. Where's that happening at? A sense of competency. You're constantly comparing, whether it's with siblings or friends or at work, because you feel inadequate. A sense of purpose. You're pretty compulsive. You're driven because you feel insignificant. And it's hurting your relationships. A sense of certainty. Your behavior is that you want to control everything. You have to control everything because you're feeling that things are unstable. Would you just let God know about that right now? And just say, God, first forgive me for putting my trust in other things and other people other than you. And today I want to become a blessed man, a blessed woman, and I want to trust in you, and I want to be like a tree that's not bothered by the heat or by the weather or by a drought. I want to flourish and flourish all throughout life. And so, Father, we love you today. We thank you for who you are. We admit that we're insecure. We admit that, you know what, we'll always battle this. But we can minimize it and do our best to eliminate it if we will lay as a foundation that you are trustworthy and that we will follow you with all of our hearts. May today we drive a stake in the ground for that. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know about how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to download our app. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.